For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Our service will continue with our offering. No, I'm just kidding. For God so loved the world, some of you are like, darn it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life abundant, eternal life. We've seen the sign held at football games. We've heard the passage a ton of times. Some of us have been beat over the head by this passage. John 3:16 is the cornerstone of our faith. That's all we need to know heading into this Easter week, right? So we can gladly just move on to the offering and get on with our service this morning. My wife and I recently celebrated our anniversary. 8 years. We got married really young, right out of college. And we spent some time last week reflecting upon college and our group of friends. And we remembered, we went to school in Southern California. We would always go on the weekends. The closest downtown city to us was Pasadena. Some of you have been there. Some of you have lived there. And we would always go down to Colorado Boulevard, which was kind of the main drag. And we enjoyed walking along the streets with this huge mob of college students. We were all under 21, so we'd go to this karaoke coffee bar that was an 18 and over place. We loved it. We would sing our hearts out. You'd get to know your friends in a completely different way. We'd go run into the stores, particularly the clearance racks of the stores. It was like we had this keen sense of how to navigate through all of the things on display and head right to the back rack because that's all we could afford as broke college students. And we go to my favorite restaurant over there off of Lake Avenue. It was relatively inexpensive, called Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. If you haven't had fried chicken paired with waffles and maple syrup, you haven't lived. I mean, that's the eternal life Jesus is talking about. Life abundant is chicken and waffles. Oh my goodness, yeah. They're like, Hosanna! Like, I can get that. But every time as we walked on Colorado Boulevard in downtown Pasadena, I'd always dread walking past this one corner. There's a corner with this guy who held up a sign. Maybe you've passed by this guy in a different city. Or maybe your uncle is this guy. But this guy held a sign that said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. I say, okay, you know, and keep on my way. But this guy was a shouter. Sometimes he had a bullhorn. And unfortunately, on the other side of his sign, it said, attention, all you sinners, all you liars, all you stealers, all you murderers, all you liberals, all you feminists, all you homosexuals, and the list went on. I thought of the Billy Joel song, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Well, if this guy is the saints, then I don't want any part of John 3:16. Some of us have been wounded by the scriptures. And if we're to dig into the context of this holy book and the sacred text, then we can't just take one verse as a bullet as if it's an end-all, fix-all to all of our solutions. Now, I'm convinced that if we dig into the context of the scriptures, we find a different God. A God that's much more about a wideness of love for everyone. Then, attention all of you on God's naughty list, we're going to get you. Now, Jesus rides in on a donkey. I don't get religious imperial transactionalism. I get a God that is concerned with transformation and mercy and love for all. Unsuspecting folks who would lay down their cloaks and grab the nearest palm and wave it. It looks very different than the parades of Caesar at the time. John 3:16 is sandwiched in a story about a guy named Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night. That's the context. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees are kind of set up as the straw man bad guy throughout the gospel text. I think we need to cut them some slack. These were folks who were deeply religious. They were the church-going folks of their day, not unlike you and me, the religious professionals. But they were folks who were also living under the oppressive environment of the Roman Empire and deeply concerned with trying to find answers. When is the Messiah going to come, the Messiah that the prophets had promised to deliver them out of this bondage, out of this oppressive regime? When will the Messiah come? Well, the Pharisees believed that when we started obeying the law to the letter, crossing the T's and dotting our I's and living rightly, then finally the Messiah will come and deliver them into freedom and liberation. So it's no wonder that every time Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath or ate with the wrong person or hung out with prostitutes and God's naughty list, it's no wonder they got so frustrated with this Jesus. And so I think we got to cut them some slack because they were also concerned with liberation. They just... we're a little blinded by their own sense of certainty. How many of us have been blinded by our own sense of certainty? Oh, thanks for raising your hand. Yes, me too. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night because he sees what Jesus is up to, and he's got some questions for Jesus. It says this. Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Don't be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus enters into the world as the embodiment of God's love because he cares about it, not to add more people to the naughty list, but that we all might be saved through him. Now, different scriptures interpret the Greek word for born from above different ways. We've heard born again, we've heard born from above, we've heard born anew. All three are correct. It's what we do with it next. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God here, which is tough for us to understand because we don't live underneath a kingdom. We don't have a monarchy. We don't have a king or a queen. But if you think about God and what God might imagine for this world to be, if God was in charge and we all lived under God's will, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," heaven was brought down to earth, that's kind of like the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus, it's not about the earthly things, it's about these heavenly things. And Nicodemus, like so many of us, doesn't necessarily have the imagination for it. He's not living into the mystery of, yeah, but how can that be? Heaven's up there, earth is down here. I can't be born again, I'm an old man. What, do you want me to go back into my mother's womb? That's just awkward. The science doesn't fit. It doesn't match up. Jesus, you're talking crazy again. Spirit, water, these are dynamic things. I think Jesus invites us to be born again, born anew, born from above every single day. Because water, spirit, those are dynamic things that flow. Rocks like certainty, we've got it all figured out. I've got to cross my T's and dot my I's. I know all of my beliefs. Putting people on God's naughty list, I think those are rocks that get in the way of God's flowing love and spirit and call towards transformation. The book of John has all of these wonderful interplays between darkness and light. I love that Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. Maybe because he was scared. If he was seen hanging out with this guy, he could get himself in trouble. After all, he was a reputable religious man. But Jesus meets him right where he is, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the questions, and invites him to live into it. To live into this kingdom of God, God's unfolding plan for the world. How it would be if God had ordered it. And if God was really in charge today. I think Nicodemus could have used that famous quote from turn of the century poet Rilke. I would like to beg you, dear sir, as well as I can, to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart, and to try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. Nicodemus might be less concerned with the mechanics of how you get born again. Or the transaction of, yeah, but at what point am I in and when was I out? In God's love, the circle is drawn wide. And it keeps expanding and it's spacious. And my experience shows me that anytime I tend to put someone on God's naughty list or outside of the lines of who I like to love, God busts that open. It takes my narrowness and makes it wider, more spacious, if you will. I mentioned that Nicodemus could have used the poetry because Jesus answers in a poetic kind of a way. You know, I love that these kids have no problem imagining our hands as palms waving and being on a parade, giving out love everywhere. I love that they, you know, didn't even follow the instructions and bounds that I put on them. It was like, let me get over here and jump over the drums because this love has to get out to everyone. Kids get it more easily than we do. Somewhere along the way, it became more difficult for us to have an imagination. And I think if we're going to live into the mystery that is the kingdom of God, we've got to have an imagination for it. Can you picture it? Close your eyes with me. Sometimes our imagination starts in the dark. And as we get older, closing our eyes in order to picture something and more easily comes to us out of those dark places. Each week we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many of us bow our heads and close our eyes. When you close your eyes and are in the dark, can you picture it? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Who are your debtors? What things get in the way of love's flow? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What would that look like? Can you imagine it? Give us this day our daily bread. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And yes, God, in the dark, there's lots of questions. But we say, let it be so, amen, and we open our eyes. Can you picture it differently in real time? When we open our eyes, the questions don't go away. You know, how does this all work, God? But as we get like water into all of the cracks that need love, that are in need of God's mercy, as we live into the Spirit and wherever that leads us, especially to the unexpected places, something happens. We can imagine that another world, this kingdom of God, is possible. And when we live into those questions, live in the mystery, we might just find God in the process. And this anti-imperial march that has Jesus riding on a donkey is sparking something in our imagination. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. The oppressive kingdom of the world? Well, it has Caesar riding in on a very nice white stallion of a horse with army and force and gold and power. And Jesus flips it. It's poor folks with cloaks shouting praises because we don't have trumpets to blast. We're going to grab palm trees because that's what's available. Can you imagine that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? Amen. Our service.